I'm just a long-haired son of a sinner, searching for new ways I can get gone. I'm a pedal to the highway. If you ever wonder why we ride.
Oh, I do love me some Jelly Roll. Love that one. And I've said it before on the show, I'll say it again, no one gives a better motivational speech than Jelly Roll. Having spent all that time in prison and reformed, revamped himself, turned into this superstar. He's a dad. His son, Noah, is playing flag football in Tennessee where he lives. And this is kind of cute. I think a lot of parents can relate to this. This is Jelly Roll. His wife, Bunny, shot this. So it's being shared now in social media. But his son's team just lost in a game. So Jelly gathered the team together and gave him a pep talk.
This is part of it, baby. You have good days and you have bad days. But above everything, you have fun and you stick together. Did y'all have fun out there today?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all learn something out there today?
Yes, sir.
Well, it was a good day in the sun as far as I'm concerned. There's a little bit of philosophy we have from this day forward. The Tigers don't lose. The Tigers learn. But most importantly, tell your teammates you love them and you're proud of them. And you're going to come back next week and kick somebody.
There you go, Jelly Roll's pep talk for his kids' flag football team. That would just be so bizarre, wouldn't it? As a parent, you look out and you think, is that Jelly Roll? And talking to the kids? Well, I'll tell you right now, with all the CFL rule changes that have been brought forth by the CFL commissioner, it's got a lot of U-Sport coaches a little concerned here, like the Regina Thunder coach, Scott McCauley, who is concerned about the new CFL rules.
Great for them, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to definitely put amateur football in Canada in a bind.
McCauley's concern is the changes will create a crunch on field space for amateur football teams in Regina, who won't be able to use Mosaic because of the field goalposts, right, being pushed back. Unless they come up with some sort of a system where they can bring him back and forth. But he says this is going to put his team in a bit of a financial crunch.
We're going to lose $40,000 in revenue a year if we don't play at Mosaic Stadium against, you know, our arch rival. So now also we got to figure out another way to make up that money, right? So then also you're going to have to increase your ticket prices. We don't want to do that.
All points well taken. He likes the game the way it's played currently, but he does anticipate all leagues will eventually have to change to mirror the CFL in the future. And there's no word yet whether the Huskies and Rams are going to play on a smaller field. Now, Commissioner Stuart Johnston on the Green Zone, after making all these big revelations yesterday, said that the switch back and forth is possible.
We feel very comfortable that in the year and a half it's going to take for us to kind of pull all this together, we'll have a new goalpost footings, we'll be able to move them back and forth. And guess what? It's easy to scrub and paint fields. They change fields all the time between soccer and football and so forth. So if U-Sport does not adopt the changes we're making to our field, we'll just change back and forth in those stadiums where both are played.
Incidentally, Jamie challenged the commission about how the Riders have stitched in lines. And Jamie was curious if Craig Reynolds raised that as a concern to the commissioner. Our field is nearly 10 years old anyhow, so did Reynolds say that we might need new turf?
I'll put it this way. We've had lots of discussions with each of the clubs about their fields and the state of their fields and whether they have painted or stitched in lines. And then I'm going to punt that question over to Craig Reynolds, and you can ask him.
Incidentally, Reynolds has said the Riders will have to have talks with the city to replace the turf. As I mentioned, it's nearing the end of its lifespan anyhow right now, so it's not as if it's going to be something to surprise them with. But to the point that the commissioner raised about having to switch goalposts back and forth and redoing lines, that too is going to have to be an effort done by someone, or it's going to be on someone to have that done. Is that the city? An extra city cost? Like, who's in charge of manpower and paying for that to be done? A lot of questions have to be answered yet, but for the most part, I don't know how to read a lot of these texts are coming in from the Green Zone or even this morning or even just listening to all the feedback. I don't know if it's 50-50. Like, I think for the most part, a lot of people are okay with the changes, just don't want to see four downs. And the commissioner said, yeah, That's not happening, but he didn't rule it out entirely down the road. Personally, I do think it is coming down the road. But I'm not really feeling it's Americanized, as a lot of people are. I love the fact they're putting the uprights back further. No more doinks when you try to, and you can throw to the middle of the field now. But anyhow, Jamie Dye from the Green Zone is even getting up extra early this morning. He's going to be joining me, and we'll chat about all the rules a little later on after 7 o'clock here this morning. Yeah, Bryan Adams is here Sunday night. He's got a new album out, and man, Bryan Adams, he's been through this city a number of times. And you would think, okay, you've seen him, probably not going to go back. The concert's almost sold out entirely. I was just looking at Ticketmaster. You know, there's probably, 50, 70 single dots, so single tickets left and a few verified, but Bryan Adams is sure to be sold out this weekend, and tomorrow morning you'll get an opportunity to win free tickets. I'll have several pairs to give away tomorrow and Thursday. Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom.
I've seen Bryan Adams.
And?
At the Brandt Center.
He never disappoints, right?
He doesn't. And you know every last song that he plays. It's one of the few artists that I will go to, and you can sing along with every single song.
Can you imagine getting to the status of a Bryan Adams where you get paid good money to stand out on the stage, start singing, and then just quit singing because the crowd wants to take over every song, because that's what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right, so field shortening from 110 to 100. End zone shortening from 20 to 15. Goalposts moving from front to the end zone to the back. Automatic 35-second play clock. Team benches opposite sides of the field. Rouge becomes active play outcome, eliminating out-of-bounds rouges. Those are the changes.
Major changes.
What do you say, buddy?
Well, I think it's, it comes down to, first of all, rule changes in other professional sports leagues happen all the time. You talk about baseball the last couple of years changing things like bigger bases and the pitch clock. Hockey seems to add in rules, pretty often. And in fact, they're changing the length of the schedule coming up here in a couple of years. So you see changes in sports all the time. Now, you got to believe from the commissioner what he said, and we carried him live as he made that announcement yesterday, is that they want to make the game more dynamic, right? It's an evolution of the game is the word he kept using yesterday, evolution. You have to change the game, and you probably have to appeal to younger fans now as well, right? The old school fans, they love football the way it is. But you have to attract a new audience. And I feel like that was kind of the reasoning why he did a lot of these changes. Now, I think the big one for a lot of people that I've heard is the modified rouge. And a lot of people, it seems like the consensus was people did not like missing a field goal
and
still getting a point.
Yeah. Because if the Grey Cup was ever won in that manner, can you imagine what a laughing stock?
You don't want to leave it to that, right? No, you don't want to have that happen and then be like, oh, okay, we'll make the change.
Nathan Rourke, BC Lions quarterback, got to respect him. He's awesome. Hates it. And I noticed Troy Westwood, an old Bombers a kicker that we all know on the West here, he says, I don't understand how players, take the time to comment like this. Players and coaches are employees. They don't need to be consulted. And that's what Rourke was saying. They didn't even talk to the players about it. But you hear, the outpouring of either love or against it from fans. Can you imagine adding to the mix players and coaches and all? They'd never make decisions.
And I am a little surprised that they didn't give, say, the Players Association a little bit of a heads up. Maybe not to say, is it okay with you? Because you're right. You start doing that, you might not ever, everybody probably won't agree, but I'm surprised they didn't at least give them the, hey, this is what we're going to do. It was just kind of a announce it to the world all at once.
Okay. And outside of football, Jimmy Kimmel is back after about not even a week later. Are you thinking he's going to soften up on Trump tonight? I don't think so.
I am interested to watch his opening monologue. And I got to tell you, I don't watch a lot of late night TV at all anymore, partly because of the hours that you and I keep, but I would be very interested to see how he addresses this all. He's been hard on Trump for years. I don't think he's going to let up even after what happened.
Yeah, remember, he was only ever put on ice. He was never canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And but I do feel that Disney caved to some pressure here by those who were canceling subscriptions, especially in the U.S.
They lost a lot of money.
On Disney Plus, they lost, you know, they were losing billions of, of dollars here. So it's, and there's still an opportunity for them to make a deal that they need the FCC's help. They're trying to, you know, ESPN's trying to buy another outlet. So there's a lot of money on the line with all these billionaires behind the scenes, but maybe they're listening to the people right now. We'll see what happens. Jimmy Kimmel's back tonight. Yeah, I caught a few of you. I know you're singing along to that one. That's a classic. Greg Morgan here, taking a break from all this football conversation for a moment to try to figure out why, if you've not been at a grocery store as of late, well, perhaps I can let you know that price of beef seems to have gone up considerably in the grocery store. And if you're wondering, as I am, why and for how much longer, well, I think my next guest can help with the answers. She's Jolene Shea, Vice Chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. Jolene, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you.
Is there an easy answer to why I've seen beef prices spike as of late in grocery stores, Jolene? Or am I wrong?
Well, you're not wrong. The prices are definitely higher. I'm not sure there's an easy answer for it. There was a number of factors that have been affecting it. And the biggest one has just been the ongoing drought we've been seeing across Western Canada and across the U.S. Producers have been liquidating their herds over the last few years just due to the dry conditions, and that's lowered supply, and now we're seeing it affect the grocery price.
Well, as a rancher yourself, you're in tune, obviously, with the Saskatchewan beef industry, so drought challenging. What other sort of challenges are facing the cattle industry here in our province right now?
Well, we do have an aging rancher, so that's not really helping things either. We're not seeing a whole lot of young people join the industry. It's pretty difficult to get started. And, you know, we've got record high beef prices right now for the rancher on that side of things too. So we are seeing some people take advantage of that and retire.
Yeah. And does the province have a role in assisting to maybe spread the word a little better about getting into the industry? Or how do you overcome that? You say the youth isn't as interested. So what can you do?
Well, that's a pretty tough question to answer. You know, we're trying to come up with some solutions ourselves at the SCA level, and it's tough. There's barriers just due to the price of things. So I'm sure there is some things the government could do, but it's tough.
Yeah, I bet it is. Jolene Shea, Vice Chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. This ongoing tariff war adds to the whole headache of everything. How has it affected the beef industry?
Actually, so far we haven't seen too much effects from the tariffs. Beef is under the CUSMA agreement, so far, other than a day or two, we really haven't seen any issues with tariffs.
Okay. Well, so you're telling me that the price of beef for now is a little expensive. Do you see it trending downward anytime soon?
It's going to stay high for the next couple of years. You know, in order to grow supply, as a rancher, we have to start retaining heifers. And once we start retaining those heifers to grow the herd again, it's over 2 years before those heifers have a calf, and then that calf is big enough to enter the food chain. So, unfortunately for the consumer, we are going to see high prices for some time. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a couple of years probably.
Well, you've helped us understand it a little easier, and I thank you, Jolene, for that. And I wish it wasn't the case, but it just is. And thank you so much for the update. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Jolene Shea, who is Vice Chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. Yeah, I went to buy a hamburger the other day to make some chili, and it was like nearly $25. I'm like, what? I couldn't believe it, but there you have it there. It's drought conditions are not exactly making it any better for us here. And There she is, Joan Jett, looking great at 67 years old, her birthday this week. Greg Morgan here on this, the first full day of fall. Doesn't feel like it. 29 degrees coming our way here tomorrow, up to 23 today. Beautiful weather, great for the harvest. Yesterday, I saw my buddy Evan Bray sitting in the grain truck. Next to his mom came in for a visit, waiting for his brother to bring the grain over. He's hard at work in the field, as many are right now, and filling in nicely is Brent Laux, who joins me now. I think I got Brent. We're having some technical issues. We got him?
Nope.
There he is. All right,
there
Brent.
We are.
Thank
Hello.
You for joining me again here today. Yesterday, you heard it live here on your show of the CFL changes, and it's still a hot topic today. And how are you feeling now that you've had a good sleep on it to assess these changes?
I'm good with it.
Are you worried it's Americanized or not?
No. Change is good. Look at how engaged people are becoming. Some people don't like the changes. Other people are embracing them, and other people are taking a wait and see. But it's the old story, isn't any publicity good publicity for your team, for your league? And no, I think it's something to look forward to being spread out over the next two seasons here. I'm pumped. I really like the idea of the play clock, much like Major League Baseball went in, and boy, it really tightened up the playing time for baseball. I'm not saying the football games have to be tightened up time wise, but it'll make everything move a little bit quicker, I think, as far as play calling.
Well,
goes.
And to that point, every sport changes and evolves.
Yeah.
And, the NHL does it, baseball does it. I don't think we're Americanizing the game at all. We still have a bigger field. We still have a larger end zone. We still have ratios to debate. There's still more players in the field. Perhaps most importantly, there's still three downs.
Yeah.
They've changed the game. I like moving the uprights. I like all this time. It's been very gimmicky and Canadian, I know. But to not be able to throw to the middle of the end zone because the uprights are there, it's a fine move. And don't you think, too, that now you're going to start to see, like, in the fancier stadiums in the NFL, Brent, with a little more room in the end zones now they're going to have like fancier areas to sit up
that's
close
what I was
to the
thinking.
Action. Don't you think that's
that's
come?
What I'm yeah more hot tubs
yeah, perhaps there will be so this is going to be a conversation I'm sure on your show but Daryl Davis, I see, is coming on. Now, there's a guy that loves moving the uprights.
Big time. Yep. No, Daryl's going to kick off our Evan Bray show here coming up just after 8:30 this morning. Got a busy, busy day on the program. Charlie Angus is going to be in Regina tonight. He's stirring things up. And it's interesting. He did a video answering back to the U.S. ambassador to Canada, Pete Hoekstra. Does anybody like Pete Hoekstra, like, seriously. but we'll have a conversation with Charlie Angus here coming up over the course of the program here today. I found it interesting, the story that you've got on CJME News about the young fellow down south of Regina at Rollo, who, after hearing about the horrible situation near Weyburn 2 weeks ago with the shooting of this young woman who lost her life while traveling in a vehicle, and now he's come out and said, hey, you know what, I think a bullet hit my truck. What was it, back in April or so?
Yeah.
South of Regina there. Man, you just wonder what's going on with people. And in the case of that poor woman that lost her life, they're having a memorial service coming up this Saturday for her. But I find myself thinking, you know, somebody knows something in that case. Either it's an individual that was out maybe just target shooting. Maybe somebody was out shooting coyotes in the evening. I don't know. But somebody knows something. And I can't believe they're deciding to live their life carrying that burden, that
All
secret
right.
that they are.
Well, Brent, it's a pretty jammed show. We look forward to hearing you again at 8:30. I thank you for the update, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
728.